2 is where we're going to be at. So Galatians chapter 2. And as we have seen in Galatians chapter 1, Paul has or is using his authority to call out the Galatians. The churches in Galatia were following a gospel of a different kind. They were listening to the Judaizers, and those Judaizers mixed and matched the law with Christ. And so Paul, who was a former zealous Pharisee, believed this to be unacceptable. This coming from a Pharisee, a former Pharisee, that is. He indicated his dissatisfaction by exclaiming in verse 6 of chapter 1, he says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." He says, "I'm astonished," or "I'm amazed." And so Paul was definitely qualified to speak about this. His past history proved his qualifications. He was that Jewish, religious, zealous leader who was all about the law. He was advancing beyond his peers. He was absolutely zealous in his attempt to eradicate these followers of the way, these Christians, these people who wanted to follow Christ. He saw them as a threat to Judaism. And notice it was Judaism and not God. He saw them as a threat to his religion, not necessarily to God. His way of life. And so it was religion that he was fighting for. It was not God that he was fighting for. In verses 13 through 14 of chapter 1, it says, "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers." But he says, "But." That's the switch. That's the change. That's the turnaround. "But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who had called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me." But God revealed Christ to him. And so his religion was his way of life. It was his means in which he was trying to obtain righteousness. But Paul was transformed by Christ on the road to Damascus. And he realized the dangers in following the law. In other words, following his religion. To take the place of his relationship of God, or with God, through faith. And so Paul, he advocated freedom in Christ. Freedom from sin and its bondage. But yet the Galatians were making a choice to subject themselves to the constraints of the law. And therefore Paul was astonished. He was amazed that they would want to do this. So in verse 10 of chapter 1, Paul lays it out very clearly. He says, "You cannot claim to be servants of Christ by pleasing people." And so he says, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Who are we trying to please? You cannot serve two masters. You either please God and be the servants of Christ, or you please man, and basically you're no longer a servant of God, a servant of Christ. And so in chapters 1 and chapters 2, we see that Paul is laying the groundwork to this unique qualifications that he has for being someone who has authority in this matter. he is truly, really an apostle. And so the first two messages, we looked at chapter 1, it centered on his testimony and his calling. And Paul explains his conversion kind of in summary form and draws out the fact that he was called or commissioned by, he was not called or commissioned by people to preach Christ, but Christ himself came and called him to preach. And as we move from chapter 1 and into chapter 2, Paul transitions from his calling to this certifying. And so the question could be asked, does Paul's message line up with that of the rest of the church leadership in Jerusalem? And so we come to this idea of being certified. So in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, we're going to read this and we're going to open this up and look and see how Paul lays out this idea of kind of being certified. And so in Galatians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Then after 14 years, 14 years being from the time of his conversion till now, he says, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me." And so earlier I had Matt read from Acts chapter 11. Many scholars believe that this account that he's talking about is that time when the prophets came, Agabus came, and revealed to them that, hey, listen, there's going to be a famine that's coming. You need to prepare. And so Paul and Barnabas felt the need to collect an offering and bring it back to Jerusalem. And so this is that instance there when that happened. And so in verse 2, it goes on and says, I went up because of a revelation, that revelation from Agabus. And so I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential. He says, I went before them, the talk about the gospel I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. He wasn't Jewish. He was a Greek believer. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ, so that they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission, even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. He says it doesn't matter who they were, influential or not. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. And on the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised would be those who were non-Jews, or the Gentiles. He says when they saw that he was been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised. In other words, Peter was to the Jewish people as Paul was to the Gentiles. He says, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the uncircumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And so in verse 9 he says, and when James and Cephas being Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, in other words, these were pillars of the church right here, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave me the right hand of fellowship. We get that phrase, right hand of fellowship, from Scripture. But they gave him the right hand of fellowship. In other words, they approved of what Paul was doing, that, hey, listen, we are on the same page, we are together on this. And so he gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor. Now, that phrase, remember the poor, they're referring back to the believers in Jerusalem. Believers in Jerusalem were often considered very poor. They have been ostracized from their Jewish community. They had no connections with them anymore. Matter of fact, many of them would have probably lost business ties and relationships with others. And so if you are a believer in Jerusalem or in Judea, it very well meant your livelihood. And so these believers were oftentimes considered poor. So they said, the only thing that we ask you to do is to remember the poor. In other words, remember us here in Jerusalem. And Paul says, the very thing I was eager to do. He says, that's why I came here in the first place. I'm so eager to help my fellow believers in Jerusalem out. He has special ties to them. And so in this section, I want us to think of this idea or this understanding of being certified. Being certified. One thing that we think about being certified, don't think of being certified as being approved. Okay? It's all a matter of perspective, really. Think of being certified as being unified. Unity. There is uniformity in things. And so when we think of certified, think of being qualified, having certain knowledge, having a certain skill set. I want to kind of relate this to the medical field. It is better to have a physician, a nurse, or a tech that has been certified in a particular area of concern because, well, it involves your health, and you want them to be certified in that. But it's not because they've been approved. It's because there is a certain uniformity. There's a certain standard that's out there. And if they've been certified, they fall in this, you know, uniformity. For instance, there's a special radiology test that I have to have done. It's an MRI, but it's a special MRI. And there have been places that I have gone that they said, hey, listen, we're not really certified to do that kind of MRI. That means they are not certified, as in they don't have the skill set. And so if they were to do that test, they might not do it the right way. And so there's no uniformity. There's no unity with them. So if I went to this facility and I said, hey, I've got to have this particular kind of MRI, can you do that? They're like, well, I'm sure we could do it, but we're not certified to do that. You might want to go somewhere else because they know what to do. Okay? It's not so much that they've been approved. It's a matter of, hey, listen, there is a certain standard that needs to be met, and we don't meet that. So there's no unity. So if I was to go there and get that test regardless, the doctor might come back and look at the results and say, why did you go there? Because they didn't do what I want you to do. So the idea behind it is unity. There's unity there. And so here in chapter 2, Paul is striving for unity among the apostles, which also is unity among the believers. And so that was not exactly what brought him to Jerusalem. That's not the why he came to Jerusalem. He came to Jerusalem because he was bringing an offering. He was bringing aid to his brothers and sisters in Christ, and he happened to have an opportunity. Let's find out if we're on the same page. Let's find out if we are, if this is really something that's certified. And so he goes through this. And so many, I've mentioned this before, many of the scholars understand that this revelation refers to that episode with Agabus. And Paul and Barnabas, they took that offering there. And so that kind of helps us understand the significance of verse 10. At the very end, when he says, the very thing I was eager to do. In other words, that's the reason why I came here in the first place, is because I want to help my fellow believers in Christ in Judea, in Jerusalem. And so Paul is saying, hey, listen, the focus here is Christ. And so as we look through this, there are certain things that being certified helps to avoid. Number one, it helps to avoid confusion. It helps us to avoid confusion. And so Paul, he wasn't necessarily going to seek approval or certification, you might say, from the other apostles. He was there really to seek, he ended up going there and found unity. He found unity. In other words, are they preaching the same gospel? And so when he got there, he started talking to, more than likely it was just James and Peter and John. and he started talking to them privately. He wanted to find out, hey, listen, are we on the same page here? Are we preaching the same gospel? Because there are people that I am fighting against back in Galatia who are preaching a different gospel. And I'm trying to figure out where this is coming from. Am I completely off here? Are we not on the same page? There needs to be unity among us. And so Paul wants to do this because he's trying to avoid confusion. And so in verse 2, he states that he met with some of them privately to determine if his work had been in vain. Says, are we preaching the same thing? And what I'm doing in vain, what they are doing in vain. Imagine being told two or more different instructions or ideas by people who are set in authority. Let me explain it to you like this. Eliana likes to make banana bread. I'm picking on you this morning, I'm sorry. But, Eliana likes to make banana bread. And I have a recipe in front of me. Michelle has a recipe in front of her. And Michelle's not there. I'm looking at my recipe, and I tell Ariana, you need to run over to Shell Creek Market because we forgot brown sugar. We need brown sugar for banana nut bread or banana bread. And so we run over there. We get the brown sugar. We bring it home. And Michelle's back. She has her recipe in front of her. I have my recipe in front of me. She looks at her recipe, and she's like, we needed regular sugar, not brown sugar. Why did you get brown sugar? Because Dad said so. And so there's confusion because we're not on the same page. In other words, we don't have the same recipe in front of us. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to have the same gospel in front of us that we're presenting to people. Otherwise, there's confusion. And what I'm preaching and what another church down the road is preaching, are we preaching the same Christ? Are we preaching the same person, the same work, that salvation comes only through Christ? Are we preaching those same things? And so, Michelle might look at that recipe and think, you bought brown sugar. Are you making chocolate chip cookies, maybe, instead of banana bread? No, we're making banana bread. It's just the recipe that I pulled up says, hey, let's try using brown sugar. So there's confusion that comes about. And so the gospel is the same way. We preach Christ alone. Imagine Greg preaching Christ plus baptism. Imagine Pastor Cliff comes along and says, oh no, it's got to be Christ plus communion. You've got to have communion. You've got to have that communion in order to be saved. Greg says, oh no, you've got to also have baptism in order to be saved. Somebody else comes along and says, oh no, you've got to have both of them in order to be saved. You can start seeing where the confusion starts happening. It starts to break down. And so not only that happens, then I start doubting my own salvation. Well, am I really saved? Are you really saved? Christ alone, through faith alone, by God's grace alone. And so Paul, he desires unity. He wants to make sure, hey, listen, we're on the same page. Otherwise, everything that he's been doing for the last 14 years has just been in vain. We're confusing people. Are we on the same page or not? And Paul, at the end of this section, says, yes, we are on the same page. And so, it avoids confusion. And so having the same recipe, having the same gospel in front of us promotes unity. It promotes unity. But also, it improves performance and confidence. It improves performance and confidence. Paul points out in verses 4 and 5 that he did not yield in submission so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved. He said, I stood strong on this. He said, I stood absolutely strong on this. I fought these people who were trying to present this different gospel. I did that so that the gospel would be preserved. And that word preserved there has the idea of continuation, permanence. In other words, it's a permanent thing that continues on and on. To kind of continue along that hospital theme, if you've ever been in the hospital industry, one of the worst nightmares that you can ever think of is when a hospital decides to change over to a different software. That is an absolute, total, utter nightmare. Before I left and came up here, the hospital that I worked at switched from Meditech to Epic. And those are completely two different beasts. Meditech was designed a long time ago. It is an old DOS-based system that has been, over the years, twisted and turned and whatever, so it could work with Windows. And Epic is a program that was completely and totally revamped. It works really well with the Windows software operating system. Well, for many years, the hospital had kind of drug its feet, saying, well, we can't do this change because it's going to be crazy. Because it is crazy. But they did. A couple of years prior, before we moved up here, they started that process of making that switch. And it's a massive undertaking. And so prior to doing this, they trained people to be kind of these master users. If it wasn't for my episode with my liver and the transplant and everything that I had, I was going to be one of those master users. They asked if I could go to all that special training so I could be one of those certified people. And so by doing this, by having these master users, it helps to minimize confusion by giving each department a user who can come up with solutions on the spot. And so that was one of the things that I was going to be tasked with. And so the reason for doing this is you want to maintain performance. You want to make sure that we still have some confidence in the system, so to speak. And so there was this idea of this person is going to help maintain some level of performance and some level of confidence by doing this. And so, after much has been worked through, people trained, the gospel is really no different. It's a massive change, especially for the Jewish people. You're talking about a system that was based on the law, about making sure there are certain things that are performed and worked out, to being switched from that and relying on grace and God's mercy and His love. It's a completely and totally different system. And the apostles are tasked to be that master user. They are tasked to go out there and help the people to transition to that, so to speak. Now, of course, there were many who were not willing to transition, but the transition still had to be made. And Paul was also selected to be one of those people to help with the transition. But his focus was on the Gentiles. He focused on them, getting them to transfer over from their system, which was a completely different system than the Jewish people had. But that was the whole idea. They switched from whatever system they were using. Paul was tasked to help them understand the grace and mercy that they could have in Christ. And so Paul, he's seen as this master user. He's there to help transition from law to grace. And performance, think of it like this. It's the distribution of the gospel. It's the distribution of the gospel. And think of the certainty of one's salvation as the confidence. If two groups of people are presenting two different gospels, it's confusion. Therefore, the distribution is going to be affected, and therefore, the certainty of one's salvation is going to be affected as well. Confidence. And so being certified, in other words, being united, having unity in the gospel of Jesus Christ, improves confidence and performance. But as we continue to look through this, there's one more thing that it does. It enhances reputation and credibility. So it avoids confusion, it helps improve performance and confidence, but it also enhances reputation and credibility. This is another reason why Paul is speaking about this. These Judaizers are trying to undermine Paul's reputation and credibility by showing that him and the other apostles are on the same page. In other words, they're united around the gospel. Paul is saying, hey, listen, I am a credible source in which the Galatians need to listen. They need to listen. And so in verse 6, Paul states that after his conversions, with these important leaders in the church, that he had this conversation with them. There's nothing that was added to the conversation. There was nothing added to what he had to say. In other words, we laid it all out there on the table, and when we walked away, we were on the same page. I didn't add anything to what I was doing. We walked away on the same page. Matter of fact, Titus was the proof of that. He said in verse 3, but even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised. Circumcision was the outward sign of falling under the law, the Mosaic law. And so they didn't even ask him to go through that process. And so they were on the same page. They were united. And so that helps with reputation. It helps with credibility. We can go around and we can say, hey, listen, Peter, James, John, and myself, we're all on the same page with this. And they're the pillars of the church back in Jerusalem. To go against this is not to just go against Paul, but it was to go against them as well. And so it adds to your reputation, adds to the credibility. And so there is the unity in that gospel. It helps with credibility. But notice that last statement that I put up there. It says, for Paul and the other apostles to be preaching the same gospel is impressive, since they came to it differently. You have to understand, Peter, James, and John, they sat under the ministry of Jesus Christ for years. Paul did not do that. Paul was on his way to persecute believers in Christ. And Christ himself came onto the scene. His glory shone around him. And he submitted. He fell to the ground to the person of Jesus Christ. Two different, distinct circumstances, but yet they all had the same focus. They all had the same gospel, that it was only through Christ. Only through Christ. It was impressive that the two of them, that the two groups, even though they have different circumstances, came to the same conclusion. And so that enhances that credibility and reputation. There's something to this gospel. It's not fake. It's not made up. It's not a fairy tale. God has provided salvation through Christ alone. And so church, today is no different. Like Paul, we are to yield in submission, but contend for the truth of the gospel. Too much has been done to lay the foundation, and so much is at stake if we do not. The world around us is falling apart. Kathy and I were talking about this earlier. You turn on the news, and it's just like, it's dying. The world is crumbling before us, and we hold the key to changing people's lives, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we as a church, we as churches, we've got to be united around the same gospel. Otherwise, there's confusion. Otherwise, people don't know what to do. They don't know what to believe. Does this really work, or is what they say really work? We've got to be on the same page. People are eternally going to be lost if we do not proclaim the truth and do so in unity. And so Paul's message to the Galatians is still echoed today. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Chapter 5, verse 1. And so by adding to the work of Christ, we are essentially adding that yoke of bondage. We're putting that weight back on us that we don't need. And that's what he was trying to convey to the Galatians. Stop doing this. We essentially believe that Christ is not sufficient. He alone is sufficient. Then and now. Do not think that someone must follow some prescribed ritual in order to be saved. It is simply faith in Christ. And do not think that a person must get their life together before coming to Christ. That will never sufficiently happen. Had countless number of people that have told me throughout the years, oh, just let me get this straightened out in my life. Like, no, you'll never get it straightened out in your life. You'll never get it worked out. Allow Christ to change you and let Him work it out. Let Him get it straightened out in your life. So if somebody ever says, hey, listen, I'll come to church as soon as I get this worked out, just say, hey, no. No, come to church and let Christ work it out for you. Come to church. Let Christ work it out for you. Submit to Him. Submit to what He has provided for you. Christ came to us because we were not good enough to come to Him. He came to us. And Paul sought unity around the person and work of Jesus Christ. And next week, we're going to look at how Paul confronts Peter. Now, Peter was not ever that perfect person. You remember Peter in the Gospels. Peter was he always reacted quite hastily. And next week we're going to look at how Peter reacted quite hastily to the circumstances of Jewish believers coming to town and how he reacted to that situation when he was with Gentile believers. And so next week we're going to look at that, and Paul has to call Peter out for what he had done. We'll take a look at that next week. Let's pray, and we're going to close out in the song, Oh God, Our Help in Ages Past. And so we'll pray, and we're going to close out that song. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We are thankful that we see in Scripture how Paul and some of the other apostles, they walked away from that meeting on the same page. They were united around the same gospel. It was a very important occasion for the church, along with sometime later when they had to meet officially as the Jerusalem Council to discuss that very same issue. Is it Christ plus something else? And they came away and said, no, it's only Christ. Christ alone is sufficient for salvation. Lord, we thank you that time and time again we see throughout Scripture that Christ alone is sufficient. Help us to realize that in our own lives. We so often try to add things to our salvation that is not necessary. It is Christ alone through faith alone. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for what you have done for us. We ask, Lord, that as you continue to work with us, mold us and make us, help us, Lord, to just grow and mature in Christ. And Lord, have patience with us as we do. Continue to show that mercy and grace that you so abundantly show us. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you do care about us, that you came to us when we could not come to you. We praise you. We lift you up on high. Thank you for this morning and this time together. It's in Christ's name. Amen. Greg is going to